From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. On Friday, the president decided he had some splaining to do. Like why, after September 11th, U.S. intelligence began to supersize.
We were shaken by the signs we had missed leading up to the attacks. How the hijackers had made phone calls to known extremists and traveled to suspicious places. So we demanded that our intelligence community improve its capabilities.
And they did, he said. Our expanding ability to penetrate digital communications has enabled us to track and unravel terrorist plots and repel cyber attacks on our government, our banks, and our grids. But he also said that he, like the rest of us, found all the data mining, including our data, quote, disquieting. So when he became president, he ordered a review of those programs.
And nothing that I've learned since indicated that our intelligence community has sought to violate the law or is cavalier about the civil liberties of their fellow citizens.
Nevertheless, he said he gets it.
It is not enough for leaders to say, trust us, we won't abuse the data we collect. For history has too many examples when that trust has been breached.
We need safeguards, he said. So, with regard to the NSA's bulk collection of telephone records, he agreed with an outside panel that the NSA no longer hold that information. It should stay with the telecommunications companies or a third party. But, he said, the NSA still must be able to access and analyze it. That's a difficult needle to thread. Likewise, the president will end the lifelong gag order on national security letters, which secretly request information, but he rejected his panel's recommendation that national security letters be issued only with a court order. He'll increase some oversight of the FISA court, but rebuffing the panel again, he will not put a public advocate inside. And we won't spy so much on Angela Merkel or other foreign heads of state. Though, you know, everyone does it.
It may seem sometimes that America is being held to a different standard. And I'll admit, the readiness of some to assume the worst motives by our government can be frustrating. No one expects China to have an open debate about their surveillance programs. Or Russia to take privacy concerns of citizens in other places into account.
That might be taken as a little dig at former NSA contractor and super leaker Edward Snowden, now holed up in Moscow, who once said that he sought refuge in Hong Kong because of its spirited commitment to free speech. His revelations about the NSA sparked the current debate.
Hi, and Merry Christmas.
Here's his Christmas message.
Recently, we learned that our governments, working in concert, have created a system of worldwide mass surveillance, watching everything we do.
He learned us, not just about the NSA's domestic surveillance, but its foreign spying. In fact, just this week, the New York Times reported on a secret technology that allows the NSA to alter computers from miles away, even if they aren't connected to the internet, an impressive weapon in our cyber arsenal. At least it was when it was secret. The Times had held that information since 2012 at the request of American intelligence agencies. But then it was published in Der Spiegel, gleaned from Snowden's documents, so the Times published too. How you feel about that probably determines how you feel about Snowden and about the need for intelligence gathering in general.
If any individual who objects to government policy can take it into their own hands to publicly disclose classified information, then we will not be able to keep our people safe or conduct foreign policy.
Nevertheless, the president was prompted to pull back, maybe even yield a little power of his own free will. Has any other president done that? Has any other president even conceded that it would be in the nation's interest to do so? Maybe Eisenhower, on another historic January 17th, back in 1961.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
That was Eisenhower's farewell address. The military-industrial complex ballooned. But this president still has time left to, as Bob said, thread that needle, if the Congress and the public really want him to.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.